We are hanging out. You know that guy, Steve Go Green, on Twitter? He's always tweeting about foodie chats and using the foodie chats hashtag. Well, he's here. He's hanging out with us in the studio. He's here. So, you know what? That's a little bit of a shy microphone, so you got to get right up on it.
Oh, you got it. How you doing, Amy?
Good. You know what? Well, we're not talking about foodie chats, though. We're talking because you have been to 20 Grateful Dead shows in your life.
I have. And when we chatted earlier today on Facebook, a little Instagram, I had to send text messages and calls to all my friends and family saying, let's talk about the shows we went to. And the very first show I went to was 1987 at UIC Pavilion. I was 12 and a half years old, and I went with my mom and my cousins. And it was such an amazing experience for a young kid to be a part of the Grateful Dead movement. It's an amazing movement.
Wow. I love that. That's a hip mom that you have right there.
Right?
And also, I've coaxed Dave Hoekstra to come back. Say coaxed and Hoekstra three times fast. But I've coaxed him to come back and hang out with us because you know what? He's the music guy. He's like an encyclopedia of all things musical. So he's going to hang out for a while too because you know what? This is a very, very big deal. And I think not just for Grateful Dead, diehard Deadhead fans, but this is it. This is a, like kind of the end of an era. And it's, I think, a bit bittersweet. You know what? Talk a bit about, you know, Steve, you've gone to 20 shows. Have you ever seen the Dead live?
Hoekstra? About three times. For the Sun-Times, I drew a little short straw in reviewing them. None of us were really that big Dead fans, but they'd always send me. But maybe the last show was 93. I don't know how many you went to in Chicago. I mean, I remember seeing them at the old Rosemont Horizon.
I never saw them
at Soldier Field.
Yeah.
You know, but I always tell people the flaw with me was I was always straight. I never saw them high or anything.
Right, because you were on the clock.
I know. So maybe I didn't get it. I remember one time there was a bumper sticker, you know, the world's most boring band. And I don't know. I just never got it for me. Because I was completely straight, you know.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, to me, it's totally their music. I mean, it takes you on a journey. Like, if you read about what the songs are actually about, like Box of Rain
is a great, yeah.
Which was the first, you know, song they did last night. So they're not, like, doing the set list for one night. They actually, you know, probably, I mean, I'm guessing built the set list for the entire weekend because last night they did Sugar Magnolia, which is a popular one. Tonight, I checked the set list. They haven't really done a so-called popular one, so I'm thinking like tomorrow night's gonna be like the most epic show ever. So if you're not like the biggest Deadhead, tomorrow night is the night where you get Uncle John's Band probably and Truckin' and Eyes of the World, and you know that could be the one. But I think it's just a show for everybody. You know, there were people last night at the concert that were there with their babies, which is, you know, that's just who they are. They are Deadheads that are bringing their whole entire family. And
it's interesting. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking about this, and who am I to talk about not liking the Dead when I like Jimmy Buffett and the whole Parrothead thing? You know, one time one time Buffett and I were talking. This is right before Jerry died, and they were all staying up here at the Ritz and stuff. They were talking about doing, no pun intended, a joint tour. You know, that would have been something with the Dead and the Parrothead fans. But what I'm thinking about is like the tribal experience, the cultural experience. And that's what I'm thinking about this weekend. How much of it is a cultural experience, and how much of it is a musical experience? That's what I'm...
I think equally both. Because their songs really are a journey. They take you on a journey. And when you sit there and you sit there to the songs, it brings up so many memories for your life and for situations. And when they get to that chorus and everybody raises their hand and the keyboards and the guitars, it comes together. It's amazing. Because, like, Fish, I don't know if you guys have you been to a Fish show before?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So Fish, you know, my girlfriend, so I took her to her first Fish show a year ago. And then she went to her first Dead show last night. So, and she loved the Dead show so much more. You know, it was more of a sing-along for her, and she can get into the grooves more. So, you know, it's a little bit of both, I think.
Is this really the Dead? I mean, I saw The Who a couple months ago, and, you know, that's not The Who I saw. Is this really the Dead with Jerry gone and a couple other, you know, band members gone?
It's definitely bittersweet without Jerry. I was at that final show in Chicago in August of 95. So, obviously, I think that's, you know, why they're here for the final, you know, weekend. They added a couple of shows in Santa Clara, which is where they're from. So, they did a couple of shows a couple of weeks ago. But, yeah, I mean, this is the Fare Thee Well tour to the Grateful Dead and everything. But, I mean, Jerry Garcia obviously was the heart and soul.
He was the guy.
He was the guy.
For sure. I mean, he's got ice cream named after him, for crying out loud. How did Fish frontman, you know, how did he...
Trey.
Yeah, how did he do filling in? I mean, that would be terrifying, right, to be filling the shoes of Jerry Garcia. I mean, much like the Paul McCartney show that was at Wrigley a couple of summers ago. You know, you're like, there is that guy right there playing George Harrison's part. That is so unnerving. doing and so much pressure to do that. And I mean, I'm sure that Trey Anastasio had the very same feeling trying to fill in for Jerry Garcia, because there's no filling in.
I mean, there's not. I read a couple captions from people saying that some of the writers or some of the media kind of said, like, he didn't do a great job last night. But then I read the fans that said he did an amazing job. And I was there, and he did an amazing job. Like, he rocked it out. Like, he gave everything he could to make this a memorable experience for this final tour. So I think he did great. But if anybody's going to be real technical and talk about, I mean, I don't know. I think that's a hard shoe to fill. It's like coming to Chicago and filling in for Michael Jordan. I mean, that's like the hardest thing ever. So, you know.
It would be a hard one. That would be very tough. So how did this show compare? I mean, you've seen The Grateful Dead 20 times. And how would you, you know, how would you compare all these shows overall? I mean, was it definitely a highlight show because it was the last, or were there other highlight shows that you've seen in the 20 that you've experienced?
I think it's cool because when we talked earlier on Facebook about coming in today, I went on the mic. I text my friends. I was asking all. I'm like, did we go to a Dead show together? I totally can't remember. And,
you know, you did it right if you have to ask your friends if you were there.
True. I mean, it's like, you know, but back in the 80s, like, you know, this isn't, we weren't doing anything. You know, this is 1987.
You're
12. I'm 12. I went with my mom and our cousin, and my mom was remembering the experience. We were there in a parking lot, and as we talked about the situation, I remembered more and more. Yeah, that's it. So we went to shows in the 80s. We went to shows in the 90s. Obviously, I just went last night. I went to shows in Chicago. I went to shows in Miami.
I just want to say, this guy right now is periscoping live.
Yeah, what are you doing?
So you can watch.
So last night was amazing. So we got
you
to the concert.
You did a lot of social media last night.
I periscoped last night the first song, okay, Box of Rain, and I held true, and I didn't end it before the song ended. That would have been terrible to the fans. And so we periscoped. We had about 500 viewers, and you can watch the comments like flying through on your phone. So it was quite an experience to be there and sharing the love with all the Grateful Dead fans, and just asking questions. What's your favorite song? What's your first memory of the Dead? And just the amount of people that thanked me on Periscope.
Who couldn't go to
that couldn't go to air it and to show them the first song. I think you could on YouTube buy it for $29.99. You can watch the whole shows as well, which is very cool. Somebody I saw actually like videoed his YouTube from his living room and then aired that online. But Grateful Dead fans are fanatics. I mean, this is definitely where I think the concert's about to end. They're on like song. I'm checking the set list right now to
he is live streaming, checking a set list. He's tweeting. He just tweeted a picture of the two of us. This guy is a social media machine.
So you were the yellow dress man last night. I was. I decided to dress a little yellow last night. I had a yellow bandana.
Tour de France feeling. Right.
Little, and then we went from Wrigley Field yesterday to the Cubs game. Go Cubs today. They won. Yeah. Chris Bryant, 6 RBIs today. We went from Wrigley Field to Soldier Field yesterday, which was an epic experience. Did it once before. We went to the Cubs game and then Kenny Chesney concert a couple years back. So those are, I mean, Chicago, we live in the best city ever, especially
I read
in
that
summer.
Theo and Joe Madden were there last night at the Dead. I read that in the Trib.
Yeah. And Ricketts. I saw Ricketts in the bleachers a couple times in a row, and he sits there and he checks different vantage points. He's like, yeah, that's a good view right there. He's like, that's pretty good. He's a cool guy. He's a cool owner, Ricketts.
I got to ask you a question. You've never seen the Dead?
I have not. You know what? I have seen the Dead tailgating. It was the first time that I was ever at Fenway. I kind of walked up to, I wanted to see Fenway Park, and I walked up to it, and there was daytime tailgating happening leading up to a Dead show that night, and I was quite taken with everything happening, because it was, you know, there were like families and young and old and lots of stuff going on, and obviously other stuff we won't talk about on the radio, but lots of things happening, and it was just kind of this magical experience just to just go and just see what was happening, just kind of do a lap of that parking lot. But I have not gone to an actual show.
I need an interpretation for this. That whether they call that Space Jam, I mean, that was something that always space. Now tell us about that. This drove me crazy. They I went and saw them at Alpine after Jerry died. What was that further tour or something? I had to review that too. And they might have done that there, but they do like a drum solo and everybody walks off the stage for like 25 minutes. It's really. I couldn't believe that. It's kind of annoying. What is that? And I heard they're doing that. They're still doing that.
So well, I mean, they played Space last night.
Right.
I mean, for a jam.
Even the Deadheads say it's a good bathroom break thing. But it goes on. It goes on for a long time,
It goes on forever.
I couldn't believe it. Explain that. What is that?
I mean, there is no other concert that does things like that.
What is it?
I mean, it's just, it's a journey. It takes you on a, I mean, if you get into the music, like, it's my most favorite dancing concert of all time, because everyone's in there in their own groove, just kind of working.
Well, they're tripping, right?
Well, you know, I was periscoping last night, and there was something to my left, something to my right, something in front of me. I mean,
that has to be what that space thing is about, right?
You know, but I think, like, listen, I was not tripping last night, and I was drinking some good old Miller Lite, and it was a good time. But I mean, I think that, listen, you can totally enjoy this music. It takes you on a journey, especially if you yourself are a storyteller yourself, where the music, I mean, the piano, the guitars, I mean, this is real music nowadays. You know, like, how much real music do we have nowadays? You know, how many great movies do we have nowadays that have a good story to it? And I think these guys are amazing storytellers. Like, if you actually go and read about what they write these songs about, I mean, it's amazing if you read it. So,
you know, you say nowadays, and that reminds me that and watching you periscope and tweet and all this, I think it's very interesting, kind of the second experience that we have now with the way we experience concerts, with the way we experience award shows, that kind of thing. But it used to just be you would watch the Oscars, or you would go to a concert and afterwards maybe tell your friends or show them pictures that you took, if you could smuggle in a camera, right? You used to couldn't even do that. Now, you know, when the first thing I started seeing was, you know, people tweeting from concerts, and then people were tweeting pictures, and then they were sharing videos, and they were live streaming. And through that process, I started to realize no longer is it okay to hold up a lighter, because no one smokes anymore. So you don't hold up a lighter. You illuminate your smartphone and you hold that up, which I think is very kind of cool to see. In the same way that it is cool to see kind of an arena full of lighters, it's cool to see a bunch of smartphones lit up. But, you know, talk about that a bit, because you're such a social media guy, Steve. You're all over social media in all the right ways. And so, you know, how was that process for you? Did you just right away start, you know, bringing that to your concert experience? Or was that kind of something that you resisted?
I've always been someone who has adapted with the times, and I love social media. If it's concerts, if it's sporting events, if it's just anything that I do, but concerts takes it to a whole new level. So you go in and you got your, you know, sometimes your cell phone reception is not going to work the best. So you have to have your process down. So you have to, first you need that picture, that selfie with your friends, and you have to check into where you are. You got to let everybody know that you've checked into Foursquare, checked in on Facebook. Then you have to go and you got to get that first tweet of where your seats are, letting everybody know where your seats are. And then to me, it's fun to ask that question, everybody, you know, for the Grateful Dead, what was your last show? Is anybody going? And just that camaraderie that you feel at a concert is amazing. So you're there with your friends, but you're there with everybody, and it takes it to a whole new level. And then now, you know, of course, we're tweeting, we're Instagramming, we're Facebooking, but now with Periscoping now, that takes it to a whole new level right now, that you're sharing your experience, because not everybody, okay, can spend $29.99 on YouTube, and not anybody could spend the money of what a ticket is. If you're lucky to get a face value, good for you. If you're not, I mean, tickets tomorrow night now, I'm looking, they're like $1,000 for like a single ticket for tomorrow night, especially
last show ever.
Last show ever. So, but this is your way to share it with all your friends from all over the world. I mean, the amount of people we saw last night, like, I'm here from Honolulu. They flew in from, you know, they flew in from all over the country, all over the world.
Yeah.
And the fact that we can now share that on social media with people at concerts takes it to a whole new level.
I was really enjoying watching that last night too. I was kind of, you know, looking through social media and seeing what people were doing. And then kind of today was looking through just some of the after party, because eventually I went to bed way before they did, you know, but it kind of looking at what people did after and things like that, and then watching people kind of warm up for the show tonight. It was really interesting. People really, they were traveling from far and wide to do this. You know, there was like pictures of a family with little kids from Wyoming, and then people from California, and then people from other countries, and just, it was amazing what, you know, what this show means to people. I mean, it really is, Deadhead or not, I think people are realizing this is a big deal. This is kind of a moment, you know.
They were pioneers in the taping thing, the fans were, and I've heard, of course, I haven't been there. Are the tapers down this time around? And if so, why? I mean, tell us about the taping history of them, people being able to tape their shows and how open they were to that.
Yeah, I mean this is something that's getting to be a serious issue. I mean, even like with the fight, with the Mayweather fight, you know, that they were banning everybody from doing that. I mean, this is going to be an interesting one to kind of like stop, type of thing. So, I don't know. That's That's it.
Were there a lot of tapers there last night? I mean, didn't they used to have like a whole section for them? Were they, was that there last night?
I mean, you know, the one thing I saw last night, there were four lucky people. I think they were all women, but there were four lucky women that were actually right in front of the stage that was able to capture the pictures of the event. They were pretty cool. But other than that, I didn't really see that much else of that type of taping. But I've never been to a concert that is more packed than this concert was last night. I mean, nobody moved. 70,000 people at Soldier Field, and behind the stage, you know, it was totally sold out behind the stage for an obstructed view. I've never seen that before. I mean, even the luxury suites in the top of Soldier Field all the way around. I mean, this was truly, I mean, we are truly witnessing history in Chicago once again. I mean, I'm born and raised in Chicago here. So I was born and raised at Outer Drive East, 400 East Randolph, if you guys know that. Back in the days, I mean, Outer Drive went around our building the other way. So this is like so amazing for Chicago with Lollapalooza coming up. I mean,
we have a lot of great, musical stuff here, and it's a great summer for it. We're hanging out with Steve Green. You know this guy from social media. He does that Foodie Chats hashtag all over the place. You know that guy. He's CEO of Foodie Chats. So he's hanging out with us. Why, pray tell, do we have the Foodie Chats guy in here talking about the Grateful Dead? Because he has been to 20 Grateful Dead shows. He's been going to Grateful Dead shows since he was 12 years old with his mama. So if anybody knows a thing or two about Grateful Dead shows, it's this guy. He's also all over social media like you would not believe, and possibly, I now believe, one of the most energetic people and one of the most multitasking people I've ever met, and I really dig that. Also, we've convinced Dave Hoekstra to hang out a little bit with us because he's a like a walking encyclopedia.
And not multitasking. sitting here.
Are you simultaneously tweeting and periscoping and Instagramming, Hoekstra?
I'm just sitting here. Yeah.
So we've been talking about the Grateful Dead, and right before the break, we were talking about how they really kind of embraced fans recording their shows early on when a lot of people were not. And I think that's very interesting because, you know, quite a few years ago when we saw the digital disruption hit with Napster, it was kind of a split thing, right? We saw some bands go, heck yeah, let's do it. Okay, the business model has changed. We'll make money now on merchandise and live shows. And then some bands like Metallica kind of led the way. They're like, nope, we're not gonna go here. We're gonna sue everybody that even looks at downloading our music. The end. And it was interesting to see how bands kind of started to thrive in that disruption. I think one could make the case though that the Grateful Dead was kind of embracing that business model way before the digital disruption, just with like tape recorders and that kind of thing, just with fans going, hey, it's cool, share it, and this is more than just the song. Go for it.
I'm a big Bob Dylan fan, and I started seeing that after the Dead were doing it. I saw that at Bob Dylan shows. I mean, they had setups, they had the microphones in the air, and people had really some sophisticated stuff. And I go down to New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival every year, and now, last few years, what they've done is they record certain bands who do that. They record the shows, and then you can go walk over to attend and buy the shows on CD and stuff. But the Dead, I think you're right. I mean, they were pioneers in that, turning that over to the fans.
I mean, Grateful Dead is about sharing as much love as possible. There is so much love in the air, and everyone can laugh about why there's so much love. There is, and they want you to share it with the 70,000 people that are, you know, in Soldier Field for right now, but with everybody else around there. And the amount of people that thank you on social media for sharing something that they, because most people don't have that opportunity to be at the concert. So just the amount of love and the shares and the thank yous that they have is amazing.
Is that an idealism? Is that a 60s idealism you feel there with that? I mean, there's a lot of money being made on this too. I'm sure there'll be a live album, won't there?
I mean,
the Dead will do one, right?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, obviously they have to
continue. Box set maybe.
They have to continue to make money.
Yeah, right.
And they're not just going to stop at that. So, I mean, for sure with that. But the music industry, I mean, we could have a whole day talking about the music industry and how much that's been impacted from social media and just everything like that. That's a tough type of topic here, right? But yeah, absolutely. That is totally a 60s thing. And I mean, we get caught up so much in making money and all that, you know, where I just think these shows right now are just so giving back to the fans. And the fact that they are streaming it on YouTube, that you could buy it for $29.99, that's like the fight. You bought the fight for $99 and you were completely disappointed from that big fight that just happened. But for $29.99, you're not disappointed.
I call that fight the hug fest because that's all they were doing.
That is. I threw my cushions at the TV. I'm like, can somebody please throw a punch?
Somebody punch somebody, please.
Oh, my God. And we're going to have a rematch. Like, who's going to pay for the rematch? Probably a lot of people. Anyway.
We'll see about that.
But there is no rematch of the Grateful Dead. This is it. The final weekend. Tomorrow, I think they're on their last song right now. I just checked the set list.
Okay, so again, this guy, Mr. Social Media here, he walked in, he was periscoping, tweeting and Facebooking, and he's been watching the set list update as we've been sitting here. So what did you say they were playing a second
ago?
Well,
song 17, they played Space, which I think is the only song. They played Space last night, too. It's the only song so far they've played twice. And they're on Stella Blue right now. Song number 18, they played 19 songs last night. So I think that they are about to do their encore in a few minutes. So everyone's going to be getting out of Soldier Field.
So we're about to see an abyss of like a sea of tie-dye running down Michigan Avenue here in a minute. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Okay, so Steve, other than this show, what shows stand out for you? Because you've seen The Grateful Dead 20 times. What other shows stand out?
See, all the shows I love because I had fun at every single show. And there are some concerts where maybe you don't have the most fun. I went to a Prince show where he didn't show up for like 2 hours. Like, he just kept because he's Prince type of thing. But these shows are not like that. You know, like I said, 1987, in the 80s, I went with my mom and my cousins and family and friends. And just the time we had, we saw it in Alpine Valley, Rosemont Horizon, just all the different fun venues in the Chicagoland area. Saw Grateful Dead in Miami at the Miami Arena back in 93, 94 type of thing. But all of them just are just an incredible experience, I have to say. Like, you know, there are people that have been to hundreds. Like, they are deadheads that they tour and that's their everything. It's not like that for me. But I always get uplifted by going to a Grateful Dead concert. I really do. Like, I leave and I want to, like, create something incredible right now, which, you know, maybe I can, maybe I won't. I do have an app coming out, but anyway. But you always want to leave the concert. You're feeling so good, and I can't wait to get back to tomorrow. Like, I feel like my soul got a touch from heaven last night.
And so you're going to go see the same show twice. You saw it last night. You're going to go see it tomorrow.
Well, see now that statement there is go see the same show twice does not exist when you talk about
Grateful Dead. That's where I'm going with that. Like, how different do you expect the two shows to be?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the set list from tonight, from last night, and it's completely different. Like I said, there's only one song they've done twice. So tomorrow night, so for anybody out there that was thinking about going to the show, do you know the popular songs like Truckin',
Sugar Magnolia, Casey Jones,
Eyes of the World, Casey Jones? You know, they only have done right now in two nights Sugar Magnolia. It's the only one. So if you like the popular songs, they will probably do those tomorrow night. Uncle John's Band. They have not played Uncle John's Band. Like, the question is, I love to ask this, is what do you think is going to be the last song that Grateful Dead plays ever tomorrow night at midnight? What's it going to be?
You know, if you follow me on Twitter, I just a little bit ago tweeted a link out. The Chicago Tribune News Apps team made a very cool thing with a, you know, visual display of data. They took every song ever played by the Grateful Dead in the state of Illinois and every venue and every city and made this very cool. It's like a rainbow display of all of that data, so you can kind of cross-reference it and look at it. If you maybe some couple shows are a little foggy to you, you can look them up.
Nice.
But it's interesting how many times which songs were played, and they kind of break it down with which songs were played the most. And so it'll be really interesting to see what is the final song played in Illinois and the world. Like,
and
it's
ever.
Their last song ever. What do you predict it will be, Steve?
Oh, man. See, that's the thing about Grateful Dead is you don't know. Like, I bet you, like, tonight they're, like, working on what this is going to be tomorrow night. Like, I mean, but they probably do. I mean, they probably do have it scripted out. I mean, Eyes of the World is an amazing one to end with type of thing. But they'll probably kick it off with, like, Uncle John's Band and Truckin', maybe to get the crowd kind of going.
You have to play, like, a favorite to get them going.
They've never been like that. That's the thing. They're not like that. It's not going to a regular concert where you got it. Like, if you left a Jimmy Buffett concert and he didn't play Margaritaville, I mean, you'd want your money back type of thing. But a Grateful Dead show is not like that, because you said earlier where they play Space, you know, it goes on for 20 minutes.
And like, they play that tonight, right?
They play that tonight as well, where, you know, you're not like, you know, that's not a song anybody really knows.
Those guys need to go to the bathroom this whole.
Right.
So that's a good chance to do that.
Right. I think I saw on social media that they got sushi delivered from them last night from one of their favorite sushi restaurants. I saw a little picture of this. So I think between each set, they actually, you know, sat back, enjoyed some sushi.
Show.
They play for 3.5 hours.
And you're working hard up there to put on a show. You're giving a lot of mental and physical energy. So, yeah, you got to fuel. I'm on board with it. It's like running a race. You got to have those little gel packs and your Gatorade and all that stuff. What is the pre-show all about?
They just played one more Saturday night. Okay, on Saturday night for
Beautiful.
Their second and final show. And the last end of the lyrics are, then God way up in heaven, for whatever it was worth, thought he'd have a big old party, thought he'd call it Planet Earth. Don't worry about tomorrow, Lord. You know it when it comes, when rock and roll music meets the rising sun. The final lyrics of One More Saturday Night on their final Saturday night concert ever here in Chicago. It might be their last song of the night. There could be one more, but I just checked the set list and somebody just uploaded that.
So thanks to the magic of social media, our friend Steve Green here has been like periscoping and tweeting and Facebooking and updating us on the set list so we know exactly what's being played at Soldier Field exactly as it's happening, which is super cool. So we
gotta love social media.
It's
the best.
I mean, we were talking earlier about how it's changed the concert experience so much, which is so valuable because, as you pointed out, not everyone can afford to go. And so it's great to be able to kind of see. I mean, I was looking at your pictures last night. I was like, he's got great seats and they look very cool. And you were taking these beautiful photos. But a lot of people were, it was interesting to see where people I follow on social media were sitting in Soldier Field. I was like, oh, wow, so-and-so's got good seats. So-and-so's to the right. So-and-so's to the left. So-and-so's way, way in the back. So-and-so's way, way, way in the back. It was very interesting to see everybody's kind of different take. So you're going back tomorrow, Steve. Do you have kind of the same tickets, or are you in a very different spot tomorrow?
No, different spot, different spot. This time is on the field for the final spot.
You're not fooling around for this one.
Because you don't need to be constricted from the seats tomorrow night for how you can dance. You need freedom. You need to be in the open space.
What time are you showing up tomorrow? Are you going to get there?
No, I'm not like that. No,
you're not the tailgate.
No, I mean,
early.
So some of these people, they get there at noon. I don't understand how they can last 12 hours I'm going to roll up. Right. They went on at 7:20 last night. They probably went on tonight around the same time. They're kind of punctual, you know, type of thing. They have no opening act. So it's just them. They go for 3.5 hours with a couple breaks. As we alluded earlier, they have some songs that go on for a very long time, so they could take a break if they want to without anybody noticing. But no, I'll probably roll up right around concert time. But this is historic tomorrow night. I mean, truly, of all concerts in Chicago, the very first Lollapalooza, the final Grateful Dead show, the last Grateful Dead show that Jerry Garcia played back in August, I think it was August 7th, 1995. Or August 9th, if someone corrects me on that.
Let me ask you a question about one reason I like Dylan and Neil Young is all the musical chances they take. You know, I've gone to so many Dylan shows just because they're always so different and stuff. And the Dead's legacy, and I don't know the Dead as well as I know Dylan, but how many musical chances do you think they took, and how do they evolve, or do they always just stay in one thing? And I think their root source does get ignored sometimes. Jerry's and jug bands and bluegrass and Mickey Hart with the World music and stuff, but how much did they take chances?
Question. Yeah, that is a great question. I mean, that's not a question for me, and that I could even answer.
As a fan, I
would ask that to the true Deadheads. There've been hundreds and hundreds of shows, but nowadays, you know, you totally respect the people that actually write music nowadays. That are actually singing, actually playing, you know, like we could kind of make fun of, or somebody could, like, which I'm not, Taylor Swift. I mean, she's in Chicago Soldier Field in like 2 weeks. She writes all her own music and she does all that too. But these guys, they take chances because they just play instruments and they just go for 20, 30 minutes these songs could be, and the fans eat it up and love it, and they just appreciate the storytelling. I think it comes back to the storytelling, you know, big time. Like nowadays songs are what, 3 minutes and 40 seconds
tops,
and the chorus just, they sing the same line over and over and
they're auto-tuned.
And these guys just get up there and just play, and that, you gotta respect that.
And it is interesting to see the bands that have gone to be more than a band. Kind of an experience, too.
Isn't it funny how it used to be that everything was 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Then it went, I remember the Hotel California was over 6 minutes, and it was a single, and it got longer, and now it seems like we're heading back in the opposite direction again.
Yeah.
Except now it's really not music anymore, it's beating up the music.
Uh-oh, are you getting, you damn kids, get off my lawn?
No,
it's okay, we do that here. Yeah, no, that's fair. I think we are. I mean, I think it's all cyclical, don't you think, David, that it's all like, you know, that we see like ebbs and flows of like long songs, like you said, and then it'll kind of, you know. So here's my question to all three of you. Where do you think, you know, now that the Grateful Dead is wrapping it up for good, what bands do you think are will pop up in its place as more than a band, but a band and experience?
Right now, I don't think there's anything that is going to come up and be of the caliber of a Grateful Dead or a Rolling Stones or a Zeppelin or a Yes, because they're really not musicians anymore.
Right. It's hard to think about like Justin Timberlake or
they're singers.
Bieber or somebody.
They're not really total complete package musicians. A lot of what you see fronting now are they do the singing, that's all they do.
Yeah.
Unless I'm nuts, which I could be.
Hoekstra, what do you think?
What about in a very tangential way? What about Dave Matthews?
Sure,
and maybe even Mumford and Sons coming up.
Yeah. And Coldplay as well. Yeah. Because I mean, I have friends that travel to visit Coldplay everywhere they go. I mean, that was a band recently that people definitely. I mean, they play their music. That concert is similar. It's an amazing concert experience. But like you said, I mean, everything kind of evolved a little bit. You know, we got the NBA real quick where it started as a big man game and now it's the whole little man game.
Exactly,
and we're going to do that and maybe we'll go back again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe we're going to get some that one group or that one musician that's going to bring it back to that makes it cool again to not auto-tune it or to not, like, speed it up or, you know, straight up music. But Dave Matthews Band, obviously, that's the key one. But who's the next Dave Matthews Band or Grateful Dead or, you know, Fish? You know, Fish
and
picked
up. Widespread Panic like seem like obvious fits.
And for this show, I mean, Fish. I mean, Trey is the lead guitarist.
Yeah.
He's taking over the solo spot for Jerry Garcia in his tour.
I would love to know what you know, maybe one day in an interview he will say, but I would love to know the emotions that he went through when he got that call that was, will you fill in for Jerry Garcia to play the last Grateful Dead shows ever? I like to think he probably let out some swear words we can't say on the air and wet his pants and screamed and yelled and then kind of, I'll call you right back.
Were there rehearsals? Did they have rehearsals for this much? Or did
they
just jump in?
He was just the guy type of thing.
Did this band rehearse? I mean, I read the stories from California and they said some of it was a little choppy. Some of the shows were a little uneven. Did they rehearse, do you know?
I don't know that.
You don't
know?
Mm-hmm.
I assume. They're professionals.
Yeah.
I assume they did.
Yeah. They just jam. Like, these guys are good old days and jam. And that's what we love, and that's what we respect, and that's why the crowd just gives everything they can and just enjoys the experience. It's amazing.
That's true. You heard it there from super fan Steve Green. All right, my friends, we're out of time. We have so much more to get to on the show. We could talk about the Grateful Dead all night, though, my friends. So feel free. Keep calling in. 312-981-7200 if you've been at the show tonight, or if you were there last night and you just have a comment, I want to hear from you. It's all good because it is a big, big weekend here in Chicago. This is it. They're wrapping it up here with us, and that is huge and cool. So thank you, Dave Hoekstra, for hanging out. A little bit later, you're in overtime already.
You have my water over there. I know.
I've been holding your water bottle. That's how I keep you here. I will hold your water hostage. Thank you so much for hanging out and sharing your knowledge with us. And Steve Green, he is Social Media Person of the Year and the guy behind foodiechats.com. Check it out. There's a new app coming. WGN.